We've had several in-depth conversations recently with Portland-based artists and arts organizations that have gone online during the COVID-19 pandemic. The list includes the annual Portland Book Festival last month, organized by Amanda Bullock and the folks at Literary Arts, and Tom Bray's long-running A Christmas Carol, a Victorian reading which live-streamed last week. And I'm always amazed by the passion, persistence, creativity, and adaptability required to follow the old saying, the show must go on. Fortunately for us, the Portland Youth Philharmonic is taking the same path. Now in their 97th season, PYP will be live streaming their 59th annual concert at Christmas this Saturday, December 26th at 7 p.m. And I think it's safe to say, out of all those 59 performances, this is the first one that's going virtual. To find out more about Saturday's concert and how the musicians have been coping during the pandemic, we're joined by one of our favorite guests, David Hattner, the musical director of Portland Youth Philharmonic. David, thanks for joining us today.
It's good to be here, Ken, as always.
That's how I want to start off. I want to say how nice it is to talk with you again. I think you were the last guest, actually, I interviewed live in the KBOO studios. I remember even then there was talk of COVID and we elbow bumped, I think, instead of shook hands, if people can remember that far back. And the studios, of course, have been shut down since mid-March because of the quarantine. How have you and the musicians adapted to carrying on this incredible PYP tradition as the oldest continuously operating youth orchestra in the country, now going on 97 years? That's a streak I don't think you'd want to break.
Well, we don't. We played our concert on March 7th, which you may remember was a particularly interesting program, which included the Brahms Fourth Symphony and the Korngold Violin Concerto. And we made the decision to stop rehearsing after that and wait to see what would happen. And as it turned out, nothing happened after that. That's, as far as I know, the first canceled performance in the 96, 95 and a half years at the time history of the organization was that May concert, which we were really looking forward to because last year's orchestra was even among a exceptional series of fine orchestras the orchestras put on stage. It was a very, very good one. And we decided not to try to fill in the blanks with a virtual performance at that time. Some early attempts at that were already being done in the spring to make compilation videos of performers into a quasi-orchestra. And just the amount of work and trying to figure out how to rehearse it, we were not prepared for that. So we went into the brainstorm area. It was evident to me fairly quickly that there wouldn't be an in-person fall season. So we thought, at least until January, let's make a plan. And discussions ensued. And my feeling was that if we're going to have an orchestra of musicians in little boxes on the screen, let's break out and commission music that's written to be performed that way, from original conception of new composers, music for this situation. And that was what we performed on our opening concert, which was in November. All new compositions, I believe 14 of them, created just for the Portland Youth Philharmonic and any other youth orchestras that wanted to use them. And now our concert at Christmas, which, as you know, features all of the musicians of the organization, not just the Philharmonic Orchestra, but Conservatory Orchestra, Wind Ensemble, and Young String Ensemble, and Percussion Ensemble. We're not playing contemporary music, but we're playing mostly fresh arrangements of music that I think the audience will recognize and enjoy. Some of it is classical, little pieces from the Nutcracker, and some of it is from the popular music world, pieces suggested by the musicians of our orchestra, and some of it is from the movies. So it's be a fun, short concert that will feature our musicians in various groupings and should be really enjoyable.
Yeah, we should mention some of those. I looked at the program, of course, and you're doing a holiday classic. You're A Mean One, Mr. Grinch, I mean, from the world of popular music. A Korean group I've never heard of, but I'm kind of out of it when it comes to popular culture, BTS. They have a song called Dynamite. You'll be doing, the brass ensemble will be doing the theme from the Marvel movie, The Avengers. and there's even a Beatles tune to close things out. How did you select those pieces along with the the chestnuts like Tchaikovsky and Vivaldi?
We surveyed our musicians. It's something we tended not to do as an educational organization. In many ways, it's our job to pick the curriculum as the faculty, if you will. And this year, we thought it's been such a difficult year for young people. They're missing out on so much, but they do share a lot of things in common. And among those is an interest in the popular music of today. And so BTS is everywhere. People are crazy about it. And that was sort of the number one vote getter was Dynamite. So I called my good friend and colleague, Ken Selden, the conductor of the Portland State University Orchestra, and he made a fresh arrangement of it for strings and electric bass. And we learned it and recorded it. And those movie themes like The Avengers and Do You Want to Build a Snowman, those came up as well. Most of the pieces on the program were voted on by the students. So that's really where all that came from. And Lennon McCartney, that came from me. You may know that I'm passionate about the music of the Beatles. All of them as composers, I think, are superior. And I thought that this particular song, which was written for the first ever international satellite television broadcast, would be a particularly appropriate selection for our broadcast of this concert. And it gave a chance to have a couple of our alumni, Kate and Emma Davis, who have sung in orchestra concerts when they were members of the orchestra years ago, to perform with us. Kate, of course, is a highly regarded singer-songwriter and bass player in New York City, and so she was happy to participate.
Will she be in New York for the performance?
Yeah, she recorded it in New York, and her sister Emma recorded it from another state. And Kate also contributed the electric bass line to the song Dynamite, which is in many ways the most interesting line in that piece, because the melody is, it's almost so simple it's not really a melody. It's really BTS's performance that makes that song what it is, and the bass line, which is a heavily Motown inspired syncopated funky bass line, which of course as a top professional, she put that down with no problem at all.
So you mentioned earlier about the musicians performing in little boxes. Certainly quite a few challenges associated with live streaming during the pandemic. But there were also, I guess, some advantages by getting some of the alumni like Kate and Emma Davis, who are not in Portland and probably would not be at the Schnitzer if there was a live performance of the Christmas concert. So kind of taking some of the good with the bad.
Yes. Normally, we have an entire orchestra of alumni that performs every December 26th, and we decided to not do that. We invited alumni who wished to participate to record the clapping track for the BTS Dynamite, because it added a little something to have some clapping during some parts of the song. So some of our alumni recorded themselves clapping to the click track at certain parts. Ken even wrote two different clapping parts for people to choose from. So it's interesting, as a conductor, a lot of the job is balancing the different voices in the composition. And that's all done by a computer technician now, deciding what to bring up and what to emphasize, since all the parts are recorded one at a time and then are loaded into a computer and aligned. And then you can decide what comes up and what comes down. So we've discovered that of all the professions in the world, conducting may be the most useless in a pandemic. It really serves no function anymore.
Because you need a live orchestra there rather than people in their musicians in their little boxes.
Yeah, and contribute nothing to the sound directly.
So performances have all been recorded and then mastered and edited together into the show. So it's not like any of the musicians going to be sitting in their homes on Saturday night performing live.
Nope, all of us will be audience. And for the musicians, I can't experience what they're experiencing because their performance was weeks ago. They played their part with a metronome and a little electronic version of the piece in their ear to guide them. And then they send it in and it goes to the editor, and they don't hear it again until they get to see the final edited version on screen, which I think will be exciting for them to see, like, their rather plain contribution woven together into this virtual orchestra. So I'm excited for them, and their families, I hope, will enjoy it very much.
In the finished product, do you notice any difference in the performances and kind of the whole feel of the performance as opposed to, you know, being on stage at the Schnitzer Concert Hall and performing live?
Well, it couldn't be more different. It's more like a film now, like a movie, where, you know, a movie is completely an illusion, because when it's made, there's no continuity. They might shoot the last scene of the film first,
right,
and then something from the middle, and depending on who's on set. So it's a little like that. Once it's edited, it's set in stone. It's always the same. It never changes. It will always permanently, unless the editor decides to make a new director's cut or something
right,
like that. What's missing is any sense of spontaneity in the music making, which is the most important part of live music making, really, in any genre, is the feeling that, yes, we just rehearsed this on stage an hour ago before the concert, but now there's a new energy in the room. There are people listening, and they somehow telepathically require us to add some expression here or take a little more time here. None of that is, of course, possible. There, tempo maintenance has to be 100% strict and unchanging, which informs our choice of material. Something that has a lot of changing of the tempo is just not doable. So we had to pick pieces that were somewhat march-like in character, or, you know, had a beat to them, rather than things that are more melodic or soulful. So that's one of the most important differences. You have to accept the medium for what it is. That's why I wanted new music for the rest of our season. Once we get started again in January, we'll have another few dozen compositions that we'll be learning for the rest of our season. And that, again, conceived with the knowledge that you can't have gradual tempo changes or radical tempo changes, that it all has to be mathematically relative if you're going to change something. And also how things are aligned can be thought of in new ways by composers. So all that's going to be very interesting. But in the meantime, yeah, this concert, it's done. It's not going to ever change. It'll always be the same every time you listen to it.
So it seems you and PYP have adapted so well, but I get the feeling you can't wait until you're in front waving that baton in front of the live complete orchestra on stage all together.
It's going to be an emotional experience for all of us to go back when it's time. It's just very special what happens with any orchestra. It'll be that way for every orchestra of the world. You know, some of them have been playing concerts for over 100 years, including the Oregon Symphony. And when they get back together and, you know, hear each other's sound melding together for the first time, it's going to be overwhelming for a lot of people. And as everyone knows, because either we are young or we used to be young, all the emotional aspects of being human are amplified in the adolescent years. They feel it more strongly. And having been deprived temporarily, hopefully temporarily, of the opportunity to do what PYP does, which is a very special thing, they'll never take it for granted again, nor will I. And that's going to make those first notes really memorable.
Well, David, again, many thanks for joining us today, and happy holidays to
thanks,
you,
Ken.
The musicians, and everyone at PYP.
Absolutely. You know, happy new year to everybody out there, and come join us on Saturday. It'll be a fun hour.
We've been talking with David Hattner, musical director of the Portland Youth Philharmonic. David and PYP will be live streaming their 59th annual concert at Christmas this Saturday, December 26th at 7 p.m. You can find out more online and purchase tickets at Portland Youth Phil, that's Phil as in PHIL, .org. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.